I hope you had a good day today. I hope you had a productive day. It was a beautiful day outside. I know it started off a little bit ugly, but it turned pretty very quickly. And I have to tell you, I'm glad to be up here with y'all today. I heard some folks saying Sunday that it was hot. And to me, it doesn't get hot until it's at least 97 degrees. And so for y'all that was complaining that y'all were thinking it was hot, I don't know that. I don't even know what to say to that, because, like I say, that's kind of cool to me. 80 degrees is wonderful. I want to say too, thank you again for allowing me to be here and be a part of the conference. It's an absolute privilege. Anytime I'm given the opportunity to share about our ministry, but also to just come and be a part of multiple services like this, it's absolutely a privilege to me to be here. And I know I've been telling you this multiple times on Sunday, but thank you for your vested interest in our ministry and the way that you've not only participated in trips with several of the church folks here going, but also the financial investment that you've made in our ministry every month is a major blessing to our ministry. And so I just want to say thank you. And I know hearing tonight about the Hines family, their ministry is awesome. And I can tell you firsthand too, having ministered with missionaries who are recipients of church building ministries, and being able for them to have a place to actually meet and worship, we take that for granted so quickly. I mean, we complain if the air conditioning's a little bit too high, or the heat's a little bit too hot, or, you know, that pew's just a little bit too hard. I can tell you firsthand, I've watched people that have sat in grass amongst the cows while people were preaching because they didn't even have a church building. God had given them a little bit of land, and they were going to use that land, you know, every chance they got until they could get some money scraped together to put up a building. And so I appreciate their ministry and enabling people to have a place to come together and sit and worship together. And I appreciate your presentation tonight. Proverbs chapter 3 this evening. Now, yesterday the two messages that I was able to have the opportunity just to share with you that the Lord had laid in my heart was maybe a little bit more emotional messages, as I'm trying to get you to really stop and think about the fact that there are so many people who desperately need the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need your involvement in serving and being a part of the Great Commission. There's no doubt about that. That's how this is going to be accomplished. We all work together. Now, having taken that tonight, I want to take a little bit of a different approach, if I could, because yesterday we talked multiple times about doing the will of God. And I remember as a young man hearing multiple times about the will of God, the will of God, the will of God. And if I'm honest with you, the way a lot of preachers would talk about it and the way they would describe it and the things that they would say surrounding the will of God, it was almost like the golden egg at Easter time. You know, where is that thing? I want to find it. I want to know what that is. What does that look like? And how do I get there? And how do I get in the center of that? That sounds like an awesome place, but what do I do to accomplish that? And I remember, honestly, as a young man, sitting there thinking that and feeling that way. Okay, I know what you're talking about, the will of God, but how do I get myself there? I had an opportunity. Have any of you ever been to Alaska before? Alaska is a beautiful state. I mean, it's not only beautiful, but it is absolutely just breathtaking to get up there and see the landscape. It's a beautiful state, but it also can be a very brutal state. While I was there, I was in North Pole, Alaska, and I had a chance to meet a lot of different people as I stayed for about 3 weeks and spoke at different churches sharing about our ministry. I had an opportunity to meet some Inuit people, and it was very interesting to learn about the Inuit way of life and learning about their cultures and their customs. It was very interesting to me, but I heard a story that I thought was really, really neat. They talked about how the Inuit people would get from one area to the next amongst the different tribes, amongst the different people, especially during the heavy snowstorms. They said in the heavy snowstorms, it's very easy to lose your way because everything is just blanketed in snow. You really couldn't differentiate which way you were going. You would go by the stars sometimes, but then it would be so cloudy you couldn't go by the stars. And so what the Inuit people decided to do to help themselves is they erected tripods along the pathway. And each one of these tripods, they would encase it, or not encase it, but really wrap it completely with reflective tape. And what was told to me is that as you walked on the path, if you took even the smallest amount of light and you would shine in that direction or use the moonlight, it would reflect brilliantly off that reflective tape and you would know that's the direction to go. And you would go from tripod to tripod looking for your next steps along the way till you could get to your destination. I think that Scripture is full of tripods. I really do. I think there are so many beautiful tripods in Scripture that help me go from one area of my life to the next of following what God's will is for my life. I want to share with you my life verses. These verses mean the world to me, and they have helped me in so many times where I've had decisions that need to be made and in crossroads of my life in trying to make sure that I'm following what God's will is for my life. Now, before we think of this will of God as being something nebulous, let me share with you what I believe is a good tripod to making sure that we're in the center of where God wants our life to be. Proverbs chapter 3, you probably already know the verses, don't you? Verses 5 and 6, they're extremely familiar verses to everybody. In fact, you could probably quote them with me just like I can quote them. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. I like this passage of Scripture. I love these verses because I think these are great tripods for us. The first thing I really want to point out to you is the prerequisites that are given to us. Now, just like yesterday, when we were talking out of the book of Ruth, there were prerequisites that Ruth had to meet in order for Boaz to fulfill his promises to her. Right now, I'm currently trying to work on getting my master's in healthcare administration. And as I was communicating with the University of Alabama enrolling in this program, they wanted to make sure that I understood how many prerequisites there were in order to get into this program. There were things that I had to do first in order for this whole process to take place. There's prerequisites for you and I in making sure that we're where we're supposed to be in the will of God for our life. Let me point out a few of these things to you, if I will, if you'll allow me to, just to be a help and a blessing to you. The first prerequisite here when we look at this verse, when he says here, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, that's the first prerequisite. The first one is making sure that we have a confidence in the sovereign, making sure that we understand we can trust God. There's a lot of things we trust God with, don't we? I mean, I trust my eternal security with God. I know for a fact there is no way possible I'm getting to heaven on my own. I trust 100% completely that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. He knew what a horrible, wicked, rotten person I would be, and I was an enemy of God, and in spite of that, he still willfully went to the cross and died for me so that I could know for sure I'm going to heaven. I trust completely in that. But you know what? It's easy for us as Christians to claim that as one of those major things we trust God with. But boy, it's a whole different thing, isn't it, when we start talking about trusting God with our finances. I don't know about that, Bradley. You done gone from preaching to meddling now, boy. You need to stop. Go back to where you were before. I know that's exactly how we feel so many times. Trusting God with my career and exactly what I'm supposed to do with this education, with this skill set, and following after what God would have me do. Trusting God is an absolute prerequisite. We have to have 100% confidence that I can trust God with every single thing that's a part of my life. My marriage, my children, how I raise my children, how I discipline my children, the type of entertainment that I put into my life, the type of words that come out of my mouth, the skills that he's given me, the jobs that I'm going to take, the academics that I'm going to follow after. I mean, all of these things. There is not one single area of my life that I cannot exclude from this. Everything is included. I have to trust and have complete confidence that God Almighty loves me, that he knows me better than I know myself, and I can trust him with all the decisions that need to be made in life. That's prerequisite number one. Number two, as we continue reading this passage of Scripture, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. Well, I go from having confidence in him to knowing right away that I have to caution myself. I got to be cautious about myself. The heart is desperately wicked, isn't it? That's what the Scripture teaches me. My heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? The ways of man are out of control. The Bible tells us there's so many. I could probably stand up here for probably 15 minutes and we could quote Scripture over and over and over that teaches us that we have got to be cautious when it comes to ourself, because our minds, our reasonings, our priorities can get mixed up so quickly if we leave it up to ourselves. And we will have this whole thing messed up. Our picture will be completely upside down. So we have to be cautious regarding ourselves. That's number two prerequisite. I think as I continue to read on, there's even another third prerequisite whenever he tells me, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. I think this third prerequisite is really consideration. So I have to have confidence in God that I know he is sovereign. I know he will make the right decision, that he will do what's right for my life. I have to caution myself that I cannot trust myself. Bradley, you know it. You know you've fallen so many times. You've made the same mistakes over and over, like the dog returneth to vomit, so a fool to his folly. Bradley, that's been you so many times. So Bradley, I cannot trust you. I have to trust God. I have to look to him. I have to let him lead me. Him direct me, and then I have to make sure that I am having all of the consideration of him, that I'm putting everything in light of what he would want to do with my life, that in every one of my decisions and every step that I'm taking in life, whether it's with my finances, whether it's with my marriage, with my children, all of those things, as I'm walking through life, I have to make sure that I weigh all of these things in light of God and what he would want to do with my life. That's so vitally important for us. If we're going to be dead center of what God wants us to do, that's how we get there, first of all. These are prerequisites for us. Recognizing that his plan for us is best. You remember Jeremiah 29:11? His plan is best for us. If you would have asked me, well, I got to go back a little bit further now because I'm getting older. If you would have asked me 20 years ago, 21 years ago, when I was finishing up high school, Bradley, what are you going to do with your life? If you would have said, Bradley, did you know you'll be a medical missionary one day, that you're going to be serving with Medical Missions Outreach? I would have told you that you were crazy. No way. In fact, at that point in my life, I was really running from what I knew God wanted me to do. I knew God was poking me and prodding me and had been working in my heart to get involved in the ministry. But man, every time people would ask me, I would say, absolutely not. There is no way I want to be in the ministry. I don't want to do any of those things. I don't want to be a part of any of that stuff. But God in his graciousness knew a plan that was better. And steps that I needed to take, things that I needed to do. It's amazing how patient he is with us. So I know that there's this prerequisite for divine guidance, but if I can, let's continue to look at this Bible verse here, and let's look and know for a fact that there is promises of a divine guidance. There's got to be these prerequisites. Let's get this straight first, and then you can also count on the fact that there are promises. He will guide us, and he shall direct thy ways, thy paths. Proverbs 3:6 assures us that God is going to guide us in our daily life. I love that. I love the fact that it's not up to me. Any of y'all use how many iPhone users we have here. I don't know how many people are Mac people versus Android people, but I'm a Mac guy, and I love using that map service on my phone. I do. As a missionary, I'm traveling all the time. Did you know it even works overseas really, really good? A few weeks ago, I was in Nairobi, Kenya, Africa. And because of some circumstances, I had to send our team on ahead, 4 hours ahead of me, to the city that we were going to be working in. And I had to remain in the capital for about 12 hours waiting on some people whose flight had been delayed. I got up and I was at the hotel and I was in the lobby, and the lady came to me, and the night before they had assured me that I could have a late checkout, it would be no problem at all. But shortly after breakfast, they came to me and said, Mr. Edmondson, we're sorry, we need the room. We're going to have to ask you to go ahead and vacate the room now. I said, man, I got all day. What am I supposed to do all day? I got through and I grabbed my stuff. I packed it all up and got my backpack. And I walked out of the room and I'm thinking, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? And I remembered I have that map. And I was able to find locations, different places that I wanted to visit in the town. And all I had to do was pull that thing out, and it led me correctly the whole way. I'm thankful that God promises me. He promises me, Bradley, if you'll follow the prerequisites, if you'll listen to me, I promise every single day you will make good choices if you follow what my plan is for your life. That's one of those things. That's like knowing that I'm going to get the winning lottery ticket every time. Of course I'm going to scratch it off. If I'm going to win every time, of course I want that. This is God saying, hey, I'm telling you, you've won the lottery of life. I'm going to give you the greatest decisions every day. You will make the right choice if you follow my plan for you. So here's the promise that he gives us here. It assures us every day the Christian should never wonder or worry if God's going to guide, because his guidance is personal. Aren't you thankful that your guidance from God is personal for you? We don't all have to be the same. I am serving with Medical Missions Outreach. I am not a construction person. That is not me. I worked for Home Depot for 5 years. In fact, that's where me and Adam got to be good friends, working at Home Depot together. And one day at our Home Depot, the store manager came to me and he said, hey, it's your department's time to build a display at the end of the racking system here, and I want you to do it, and it's got to be for all the cleaning products we sell. It needs to be a beautiful display. He said, you have the whole store at your disposal. Our store there had a functional woodworking section where you could go in and try out the tools before you buy it. He said, you can go up there and use the wood shop. You just need to write down the wood that you use. You can go and you build all this. I want you to do this. I told him, I said, sir, I don't know what I'm doing. He goes, it's okay. You work for Home Depot. You can do it. Listen, that orange apron did not change anything that I had on. I'm telling you right now. I got out there, and I was like a kid in a candy store. I'm sitting there asking employees, so what does this thing do? You know, I'm out there. I'm just having fun. I'm sanding stuff that didn't need to be sanded, and I'm cutting things at weird angles, and I'm just telling you, I was up there having a ball, and I got done with it, and I'm telling you, I put that stuff on the end of that display, and I put all the products all over, and I stepped back, and I was like, whew. That is beautiful. I love this. I mean, I was so excited. I couldn't believe I'd gotten something to actually stand up and it was still attached to the end of the racket. I mean, I was so excited. And then here comes my store manager and he walks up and he said, who in the world did this thing? Tear it down before somebody gets hurt. And I mean, immediately three guys come over and they just start tearing the whole thing down. It was a horrible, that's not me. That is not me. I'm not afraid of it. I don't mind working. That's not me. I'm not afraid, but the construction, that my brain doesn't work that way. There's some of you, you're great with accounting. There's some of you that are great with cooking. There's some of you that are great with crafty things and being able to make things. I don't know. We all have different skill sets, but what's beautiful about this passage, what's beautiful about the Christian life is we have this this priesthood of the believer, this independent relationship with Jesus Christ, each of us individually, where he wants to grow us and help us to be more like him in an individual way. And so his guidance for you is going to be personal. Every day, what you go through, whether it's a hardship, whether you're in the valley of life right now, or if you're on top of your mountain right now, it is that personal time that he wants to have with you where he directs you personally in the will and the way that he has for your life. He wants to direct us straight and plain, safely to the journey end. I think God's guidance is also practical. I can look back on it now. We just heard testimony that looking back on it, it's amazing how when we think back on things, it's almost everything when we look back is always 2020, isn't it? We can see so clearly behind us why we went through those things and why God allowed those things in our life. I think God's guidance is so practical as well. That every day he guides my steps in ways that practically is making me, that's molding me to what he wants me to be in the future. That he's allowing these decisions and these things to come into my life because it's practical to help me to be what he wants me to be in the future. The Lord is definitely interested in directing us in every area under all circumstances. And I believe that God's guidance is absolutely perfect. It's perfect. What you think may have been a mistake by God was absolutely not. It's perfect that he's allowed those people, those hardships, those periods of trials in your life. It was perfectly planned by our Savior in order to help get you into the place where you need to be for your life, your his will for your life. It's infallible. It's reliable. It's trustworthy when we follow his guidance. And then I have to tell you, too, that I'm thankful that divine guidance is so patient. I noticed a book up here on the front yesterday when I first came up here and sat down. I love this book. Adam and I had to read this in college, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. I don't know how many of you have read this book. Man, that's a tremendous book. And whenever I think about how patient my God is with me, Psalm 23, verse 2, how patient he is with me and his leading, because I'm nothing but a dumb sheep. I have no way to protect myself. I am so directionally challenged sometimes. I'm really worthless, and yet he loves me and he patiently guides me. I'm thankful for that. And tonight in your life, as you're looking at the prerequisites of having confidence in him and cautioning yourself and making sure that we trust him and that everything is running through in light of what he's trying to do in our life, I can know that each and every one of these steps, he's patiently bringing me along, patiently bringing me along. And it brings me to the last point that I would like to make tonight, that I know there's a prerequisite. I know that there's a promise for his guidance. But thirdly and finally, I know that there are principles for divine guidance. There's definitely principles that I can take away that I can start applying to my life to help me make sure that I'm doing what God's doing and what God wants me to do in my life. And you say, Bradley, why are you preaching this message to us tonight? Because I don't know what God's will is for your life. Like I said yesterday, I believe that every single one of us, it doesn't matter who we are, we all have ministry opportunities. It doesn't matter our age, our station in life. It doesn't matter our financial situation. It doesn't matter. We all have an opportunity to serve God. We all have this perfect place that he wants to use us. So let me go through these principles that I hope will be a blessing to you. The first one is that we have to be submissive to the sovereign. It's a key principle in guidance. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's submission at its top. That verse always makes me, it always in my mind makes me go straight back to Isaac, laying on that wood, obedient to what his father wants. That was a living sacrifice if you've ever seen it. He was willing to put himself up there, allowing his father to come to that place where he was about to sacrifice him. That is submission. And so each and every day, that's exactly the way I have to find myself. Being willing to be put up on the wood if that's what you want me to do, God. Being willing to be, unlike Jonah. Jonah, go preach the message of peace to people who desperately need it. No, thank you. That was not submission at all. And so your life, each and every day, it's being submissive to what God wants us to do. He's not looking for bigger or better women. He's not looking for bigger, better methods. He's looking for surrendered hearts. So submit, number one. Number two, search. Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures to see how God is going to lead you and what God is wanting to lead your life and which directions he's leading. Let me read you Psalm chapter 119, a very familiar verse that you already know, I'm sure. Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So whenever I start searching scripture, when I start looking through the Bible, it's amazing how I get this guidance. It's like more and more tripods are being set up in my life. So that's the second principle. I'm going to submit and I'm going to start searching. God, what do you want me to do? God, how would you have me serve? God speaks to his children through his word. The third thing I think is supplication in the spirit. I think that's the third principle that we can glean from scripture in how we're going to find God's will for our life and how we're going to accomplish it. James chapter 1, verse number 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I love that because I know I'm dumb. I'm not going to lie. I'm lacking a lot of wisdom. I had a phone call today from my staff back home, and they started talking to me about a big problem that we have that we're trying to work through, and I immediately told them, I have no clue. I'm not even going to try to feign the great leadership skills here. I have no clue what we're going to do, but give me time to pray about it. Give me time to pray about it. Let's talk to the Lord about it because I'm desperately going to need him to direct me through this one. So that's a principle that we can get from Scripture here that we know if we're going to find God's will for our life, we got to submit to him. We got to search the Scriptures. We're going to go to supplication in the Spirit to obtain this divine guidance. Listen, I believe that daily, disciplined, diligent prayer is never a waste of time. In fact, have you ever been in a place where you're praying and it seems as if God gives you the answer right in the middle of praying? I don't know how many times that's happened to me. I've got down on my knees and I desperately start crying out to God, God, what would you have me do? God, how are you going to accomplish this? And in the very midst of prayer, it seems as if the Spirit speaks directly to me and tells me, this is what we're going to do, Bradley. This is how you're going to get through it. I can't encourage you enough in that respect. We also need suggestions from our soulmate. The advice of close friends, family members. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 22, another familiar verse to you here, but I think that this is also one of those verses that reiterates, without counsels, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. I think that there's a reason why the Bible calls my wife my helpmeet. She does complete me. My wife thinks differently than I think. And so I love the fact that I can go to her and I can talk to her about it. Men, I wanted to encourage you tonight. If God's given you a wife, God gave you that wife. There's a reason for that. Ladies, if God gave you your husband, God gave you your husband. Trust Him that He gave you the right spouse. Trust Him enough to say, you know what? If you've given me this spouse and you also have told me that I should seek counsel from multiple people, maybe I'll put those two things together and I'll talk to them and share my heart with them. Often we men, we get accused all the time of not being good communicators. But listen, if God is moving in your life and God is wanting to do something, share that with your wife. Talk it through. Get counsel from each other. God's given you a good pastor who's been faithful here. Avail yourself to the opportunity to talk to your pastor and get wisdom from him. I'm thankful that I not only have a good pastor, I'm thankful I have a great wife. I also have a great father and a great father-in-law. My father did not go to college. In fact, I was the first man in my family to ever graduate from college. My father went through high school and then immediately joined the Marine Corps and went to Vietnam, where he served as a sniper until he would be shot and his back was broken and he was sent home. He was released from the Marine Corps. He got home and he got a job working for the government, and he worked for the government at Fort Benning, Georgia my entire life as an energy plant operator. My dad does not have a lot of book knowledge, but my dad has a ton of common sense knowledge, and I love it. I love being able to call my dad and tell him what's going on, and my dad will just give me some good old boy, good wisdom from him. My father-in-law, complete opposite. My father-in-law went to the parochial schools, went to Jesuit college, then he ended up getting his PhD, and now he sits as the chair of the chemistry department for the University of Massachusetts. His research is well published. I can't stand asking him I made the mistake one time. I said, Dad, what kind of research are you doing today? And then he told me, and boy, did he tell me. An hour and a half later, as I found out about the molecular structures of toothbrushes and the radioactive materials that were found in the landfill that they recycled the plastics from and how he had been breaking this all down, I was like, I can't take it anymore. That was almost too much. It was overload for me. He is book smart. He's an analytical thinker. And I'm thankful that I have that man in my life where I can call him and I can ask him questions and I can get advice for him. So you say, Bradley, what does all this have to do with the will of God for me? God has placed people in your life on purpose so that you can talk to them, so that you can glean advice. And so I would pick out those godly influences in your life, and I would say, hey, you know what? I feel like God may be calling me to be a part of this ministry in the church, or that I should be a part of this type of missions activity, or that I should be involved in this with my life. Whatever it may be, use those godly influences. Seek counsel from these people God has put into your life. A final principle is satisfaction in the soul. That inner conviction or that gut instinct that God has spoken to you. So this is one of those ones that's kind of the hard balancing act in my message here, where I just got through saying that you have to have caution regarding yourself, and yet at the same time I'm telling you that you got to kind of trust that gut instinct. But if you've ever been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You spent that time in prayer. You spent that time searching Scripture. You spent that time talking to people that you value their counsel and their wisdom in your life. And now it comes time to make that decision. Am I going to take that job and relocate out of the community? Do I know that I have a place to serve? Do I know that this is what God's going to do for my family? Is this going to be the correct decision for my kids? I know that I have this decision coming down the pipe about my health care situation. And am I going to follow through with these tests and these procedures? Or am I going to take that surgical option that's over here? I need to spend time making sure that I'm doing exactly what God would have me do in my life. I know that God's calling me to be a part of these ministries, and I'm putting all these things together. And it comes time that you have to actually make the decision. I believe that God gives us that inner peace about it, where you can trust Him. This is where we literally say, you know what, my hands are off of this now, God. I know that you've called me to do this. I know that you've placed this in my path. And I know that you're going to accomplish great things. I know that you are doing this for me because it is personal. I know that you've been patient with me. But God, I love the fact that this is so pleasant to be able to follow your will for my life. The great question is not, will God guide me? That's not it. The real question is, am I willing to be led? That's really what this is about for this missions conference. Lord, am I willing to be led in how I'm going to give towards the missions program at my church? God, am I willing to be led in going to serve in another ministry over here? God, am I willing to be led to be called to that mission field, to encourage my children to go to the mission field? God, am I willing to be led in these areas? Are you willing to do whatever He asks, whenever, wherever? Because again, I can't reiterate it enough. His plans are perfect. His paths are pleasant. His presence is promised for every step of the way. I like what George Truett once said, to know the will of God is the greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is the greatest achievement. If thou but suffer God to guide thee and hope in Him through all thy ways, He'll give thee strength whatever betide thee and bear thee through the evil days. What's God's will for your life tonight? Ministry related. Your participation. What's God's will for you in world evangelism? I think tonight we can trust Him. Whatever it is, God, I want to be dead center of it. I want to be there. God, help me to check off these prerequisites that I'm doing those things. God, I trust the promise that you're going to guide me, and I can't wait to see what you're going to accomplish in my life. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your many blessings, and I thank you for the opportunity to look at this word here, these verses, so that we can know for sure what you're trying to do and accomplish in our lives. I'm not exactly sure why you would have me share this message tonight, but maybe there's a young person in here that they're praying, they're considering, they're dreaming about what their life is going to be like one day, and what they're to do, what their purpose on this earth would be. Maybe there's another person here, Lord, that's a senior, and they're saying, you know what, I feel like I've retired, and I'm looking for what I'm supposed to do next. God, tonight, help us to know for a fact that you have a plan for us until our journey is over, that you want to use us to bring glory to your name. God, may we desperately seek you on a daily basis to make decisions that guide us that way, that every single day we would find those tripods of how you're leading us step by step to glorify you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know, I just feel led to ask this question. If you're here and you say, hey, Bradley, you know what? If I'm honest with you, God is working in my life. I feel like God does have some things that He wants me to do in a ministry setting of helping get the gospel to more people. It might not be full-time, I don't know. I just know that I'm supposed to do something with my life to help get the gospel to more people. Bradley, would you pray for me that I would be able to know clearly that God would help me to seek out and to follow the plan for my life? Bradley, pray for me as I find God's will. Would you just slip up your hand and put it right back down? Anybody like that at all? Thank you. Thank you. Several hands. Thank you very much. Thank you. If you're here tonight and you say, Bradley, I do know what I'm supposed to be doing, and I just need courage to get back at it, just pray for me that I would be faithful, that I would continue this path that I'm supposed to be on. Bradley, just pray for me. If that's you, anyone like that, that I could just pray for you anonymously, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. You know, we're going to have a time of invitation here. The piano is going to begin to play softly in just a minute. And we're going to do like we did yesterday. We're going to stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of quiet prayer and reflection as the piano plays. But I'm going to be here at the front. And if you would like to have a prayer, I would love to pray with you. If you want to come to the altar here and talk to the Lord about any of these things that He's dealing with your life, please do. But whatever it is, tonight, let's all say, you know what? I want to do what God's will is for my life. And I want to make sure. I want to make sure that I'm seeking this pathway, that I'm trusting the Lord with all my heart, that I'm leaning not into mine own understanding, that I'm acknowledging Him and allowing Him to direct my paths today. Lord, please bless this time of invitation. Continue to work in our hearts, we pray, in Your name. Let's stand to our feet as the piano plays. If the Lord's spoken to you and you need to do business with Him there at your seat, please do. If you want to come here to the front,